The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
All right. Hebrews chapter 11 is the great faith chapter, and we've looked at the faith of Enoch, and the faith of Noah, and of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob, and of Moses. And last week, Pastor Ethan preached to you about the faith of Joshua and the walls of Jericho. And this morning, we look at Rahab. So beginning in verse 1, if you'll follow along, the Bible says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thy house, for they be come to search out all the country.' And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, 'There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were.' And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. And she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate." Let's pray. Lord, we ask now you'd bless the preaching of the word. Please help me as I bring the message this morning. Use me in a very real and powerful way to convey these truths and to touch our hearts, to teach us a little bit more about faith. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Take your hand out real quick, because I have been having you read through bits and pieces of Hebrews chapter 11 and emphasizing the words by faith. Would you just do this with me? I put it on your handout this morning. Right there, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. Good and loud, would you read this out loud this morning? Let's begin. "By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, but when she had received the spies with peace." And then notice also on your handout, James chapter 2, verse 25. Read this out loud with me as well. "Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way." So let me say a couple of things before we start the message this morning. I noticed in Hebrews chapter 11, and then also when we read James together, and I highlighted it for you on your notes, and then also look in our text that we started this morning, in Joshua chapter 2 and verse 1, three times, actually at least five times in the Bible, Rahab is referred to as a harlot. And I thought about that as I was preparing this message, the idea of who Rahab was. And it's really important. Now, personally, I believe this. Well, let me give you a couple of things before I get into the message. Think about it. She is a prostitute. And this is where God sent these two men. Now, I personally believe, and I'll explain a little bit as I get into the message, by the time that these two men got to Rahab's house, she was no longer a prostitute. And I think you'll see that as I preach the message. But the fact of the matter is, or the fact of the matter was, that that's exactly what she was. And I thought about these truths. That number one, that there is no sin too great for God's mercy and grace for any person. There is no sin too great that God's mercy and grace can't save them. This woman would have been looked at as, in any culture, really one of the lowest rungs of the ladder. But God reached out and God touched her life, and her life was transformed in an unbelievable way. Secondly, I thought about this, that despite our past, God has a plan and a purpose for everyone. God has a future for everyone. It didn't matter who she was. God had a plan for her life, and God wanted to fulfill His plan for her life. She had a history, but that's what it would become. Her being a harlot was her history, but it would no longer be her story. Her life would be radically changed, and we praise God for that. And then you'll notice this as I preach the message this morning, that true faith, whether it's in Rahab or in any individual, true faith is exhibited in our character and in our conduct for everyone to see. The faith that you and I have, if we have placed our trust in Jesus Christ, that faith that you and I have is for everybody to see. It's not something we're to keep secret. As we'll go through the message, you'll see that. But it's amazing what God did. And the very end of the message, I'll give you just how important this prostitute is in the entire plan of God. So having said that, let's get into the message this morning. So Hebrews tells us, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. So Ethan preached last week on the walls of Jericho coming down, and that is so one of my favorite stories in all of the Bible. And so such a tremendous story of faith. But I want you to see some things here that took place, because the only people who survived the walls coming down in Jericho was Rahab and her family. Now, the Bible says this with regards to faith. Faith must choose sides. Faith must choose sides. And this is why I say to you that by the time that the spies reached Rahab's house, she was no longer a prostitute. She had changed sides. Now, let me tell you this. It was very common. The word harlot is also used in the Bible as for the word innkeeper. Now, there are some that want to say, well, she really wasn't a prostitute. She was an innkeeper. I don't believe that. I don't believe God would have used this terminology at least five or six times in the Bible. He's trying to make a point. But it was very common for harlots to also be innkeepers. It was a place where people stayed. But often they would also sell themselves to the people who stayed there. So I just say to you this, that faith must choose a side, and Rahab, she needed to choose a side. And we see here in the text that she chose this side. Joshua says this. He says, and if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. She had to come to terms with whose God she was going to serve. She was either going to serve the idols that she was brought up under and that she had at one time also worshipped, or she was going to serve the one true living God. See, faith must choose sides. She had been brought up under Baal worship. When you worshipped Baal, there was a lot of things about Baal worship that was wicked and evil. But perhaps the most wicked and evil part of Baal worship was they believed in human sacrifices. She would have partaken in a religious system that believed in killing people as a way to honor that false god. But she had to choose. Just as you and I, some of us, we didn't come to know Christ as our Savior until later on in life. Some of us, like myself, we were actually brought up in gospel-preaching churches, but I didn't receive Jesus Christ as my Savior until I was 24 years old. For all of those years, despite hearing the truth, week in and week out, I chose to serve the gods of this world. And at 24 years of age, I had to make a choice. And at that point, with the Holy Spirit of God bringing conviction to my heart and to who I was, I realized that the gods that I was serving, the gods of alcohol and the gods of drugs and the gods of all that the world has to offer, that's all that they were. They are just dumb idols. And I put my faith and trust in the one true living God. You see, everyone must choose. Everyone must choose at some point. Faith must choose a side, and she had to choose. She chose, look at verses 1 and 2. She chose the King of Kings over the King of Jericho. The King of Kings over the King of Jericho. It's said in chapter number 2 and verse 1. Look what it says. In verse number 2. And it was told the King of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." So she knew that. She knew who these men were. And she knew that the king wanted to know where these men were. She had to choose right then and there. She had to choose whether she was going to be loyal to the King of Jericho or she was going to be loyal to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Everyone's got to make that choice in life. Everyone. And then in verse 3, she chooses. And by the way, why did she do that? She did that because, and this is part of that choice, you have to choose and I have to choose who is going to be or what is going to be the authority in our life. All of her life, the King of Jericho was the authority in her life. He was the ruler. But now she's realizing no longer will he be my authority. Now the living God will be my authority. And everyone's got to make that choice. Everyone's going to make that decision. But then also, she chose the heavenly over the earthly in verse 3. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." She had to choose. She had to choose the man of God or the man of this world. Listen, she probably would have been rewarded for turning these men in. I'm sure of that. But she had to choose where her affections were. And by the way, she is literally betraying her country to serve the one true living God. That's the choice that she was making. She was in so doing, by the way, she was putting her life at risk. This wasn't just a casual choice. She would be putting, at the very worst, her life at risk, and a minimum, perhaps, imprisonment. Hiding these men. It's a choice. But faith must always choose sides. Listen, every day of your life, you're going to come across different things in your life that you're going to have to choose. Is this God's way or is it the way of this world? Is this what Jesus would do or is this what my flesh would do? She chose the godly over the ungodly. Look again at verses 4 through 6. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out." And then, I'm not going to read it all again, I read it already, but she goes and she tells this story. She says, I'm not sure where they are now, and I'm not sure. And she's hiding them. She had to choose the godly over the ungodly. She said, "I choose these two spies, these two men of the living God, over all these that have come looking and searching for them." Faith always must choose a side. And in this moment, in Rahab's life, her faith is choosing a side. But there's a reason for that. And now on the back of your handout, you notice this, that faith must not keep silent. And really, in what she says, it really gives you a good insight to who she now has become, or into what she now believes. Look at verse 8. "And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, 'I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. So as I read that, I stopped there. How did she know that? How did she know that? She says, I know, she says, what's going on here. And so, look on your handout, if you will, just a little background information. Before Moses passed the baton to Joshua, the scriptures say this. Deuteronomy 11:25. In fact, you'll see this idea often in the book of Deuteronomy. God said to the Israelites, there shall no man be able to stand before you. For the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye tread upon, as he hath said unto you. In other words, God said to Moses, and it was passed on to Joshua and the children of Israel, listen, I'm going to send you into the promised land. But the people in the promised land, or the people that you're going to conquer, I'm going to send my fear upon them. They're not going to be able to stand before you. It was a promise that God had made. There was something that had touched Rahab's heart. And in verse 9, you find this. She believed God's promise, and she told these men that. Look at it again. She said unto the men, to the spies, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. She knew it in her heart that this land where she had lived on and the inhabitants of Jericho had lived on, perhaps for generations, that this would no longer be their land, that this was going to be God's land. And she tells these spies, this is the way that it's going to be. I believe that. And that your terror has fallen upon us, meaning all of Jericho, and that all the inhabitants of the land, they're scared of you. They faint because of you. She outwardly speaks that. And she believes, by the way, the power of God and expresses that openly as well. She says in verse 10, we've heard how the Lord dried up the river of the Red Sea for you, and when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. Oh, she says to these spies, listen, we've heard about the Israelites. We've heard about what God did as Pharaoh chased you and as you stood at the Red Sea. And God, she says, the one true living God, not the God that she grew up worshiping, but the God that she heard about, he split open the Red Sea and that you crossed over and that God brought the Red Sea back down upon the Egyptians and destroyed the Egyptians. We heard about that. And then these other two kings, I don't have time to get into the whole story, but as the Israelites were traveling, the king Sihon there, the Israelites said, we just want to pass through your land. We won't take anything that's in your fields. We won't even draw water from your wells. We just want to pass through your land and get to the other side. And they said no. And they attacked the Israelites. And God destroyed these two kings and their armies. Rahab said, we heard about that also. And she's expressing that. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what real faith does. Real faith tells people, this is what God did for me. This is how God split my Red Sea wide open. This is how God defeated my enemy. Real faith does that. Real faith, it does not keep silent. It has to tell other people. She believes in the promise of God. Listen, this is going to be your land. She believes here in the power of God when she confesses what she had heard and believes that their God had done it. And she believes in God's protection. Look what she says in verses 12 and 13. Now therefore, she says. Oh, let me read verse 11. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all they have, and deliver our lives from death." She not only believes in the promises of God, she not only believes in the power of God, but she believes in the protection of God. Faith must not keep silent. And she expresses to these men, "This is what I believe." And by the way, she's going to have to take that and she's going to have to express that to her father and her mother and to all of her family if they want to be saved. Faith must not keep silent. We're going down to Main Street on Wednesday, and we'll have a booth set up, and some of you are going to work there. And yeah, we're giving away balloons. We're giving away bubbles. We're giving away candy. But you know what we're giving, really giving away? The gospel. That's what we're really giving away. It's great to give balloons. In fact, I was the one that suggested it, so this isn't being critical. Why don't you get balloons? And then I thought, maybe we can even get balloons that say, "Jesus loves you" on them. But no balloon will get anybody to heaven. Amen? And no bubbles will get anyone to heaven. But Jesus will get somebody to heaven. Amen? Then I noticed this in the text, that not only must faith not keep silent, it must not keep still. Another reason we're going down to Main Street. Another reason, by the way, we started last summer. We on Wednesday nights, we would take the Summit teens over to the ball field to try to reach out to people who live in that area of town. And we took the Climbers Club over to the ball field and tried to reach out to people and share the gospel with them. Where we go out on Saturday mornings and do a bus visitation, while we go out and do visitation campaigns, because part of not keeping silent is not keeping still. Why, we encourage you to grab some gospel tracts, keep them in your pocket or your purse, and just tell people about Jesus. Invite people to come out to church. So she puts her faith into action here. She says one thing, but she also acts. Look at verse 14. "And the man answered her, 'Our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee.' Then she let them down by a cord through the window. For her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, 'Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned. And afterwards may ye go your way.'" So she opens the window. She puts the cord down the window. She says, "This is the plan. This is how you're going to get away. But don't try to go right back to Joshua right away. Go up into the mountains and wait there till they're done searching for you." She puts the plan together. She helps them out the window. She helps to save their lives. So I notice on your, if you notice on your handout, I put for you James chapter 2 and verse 25 and 26. "Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." You see, not only what she said was true, but she backed up what she said by what she did. She hid them. She let them go out the window. She saved their lives. She put her own life on the line. Someone said this, I put it on your handout, I read it, I liked it. "Where true faith is, there is God. His spirit gives life. And his love affords motives to righteous actions." Now let me just take a side note for a minute, because some people have said this, "Well, didn't she lie though?" Yeah, she did. She lied to the men of Jericho. And doesn't the Bible say, "Thou shalt not lie"? I'm not going to get into all of the reasons for what took place here. But let me just say this. the men of Jericho, in just a few days, were all going to be killed. They were wicked people. By the way, the same truth, did you remember her testimony? The same terror that fell upon her fell upon the men of Jericho and the king of Jericho, and none of them turned to the one true living God. Not a one. And then let me ask you this. In World War II, in fact, I put a note in your bulletin today, Corrie Ten Boom and her family literally saved hundreds and hundreds of Jews from the Nazis. They deceived the Nazis, they lied to the Nazis to save people's lives. Or which one of you men defending your family if some intruder came into your home and some intruder and you knew that they were coming and you hid your family to protect them and they said to you, "Where's your wife? Where's your children?" Which one of you would say, "Oh, I hid them around the corner, down the back, and in the shed. I'll leave the rest of it up to you." It's not really a whole, really part of this whole message, except that she had to do what she had to do. So faith must not keep still. But now here, perhaps, of the points that I've made so far, this perhaps the most important. Faith must not neglect the seriousness of salvation. Look at verse 17. "And the men said unto her, We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. Thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him." And she said, verse 20, "And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear." And she said, "According unto your words, so be it." Let me just stop there. Faith must not neglect the seriousness of salvation. Revelation says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God." Notice verse 18. "But when we come into the land," the first time these men came, they came as spies. The next time these men come, they are coming as conquerors. So we need to realize this. This is just not a social club that we have here this morning. And I know that you don't believe that, but let's never think that. It's just not a place where we can come and have fellowship, although I love having fellowship. It's not a place where we can just kind of gather and have fellowship meals, or we can have youth activities or church activities. This place must be a soul-winning station because Jesus is coming again. The first time that Jesus came, just like the first time these men came as spies, the next time they're coming with a sword. The first time that Jesus came, he came as our friend. He came as our lover. He came to save us from our sin. But the next time that Jesus is coming, the wrath of God is going to be poured out on this world. That's the first thing I noticed with regards to this. Secondly, you'll notice this in verse number 18, that there was a window of opportunity. Now, for the spies, there was literally a window of opportunity. Out the window they went and they were saved. But they also said this, "Tie the scarlet thread in the window," is the piece of the thread of the rope that she had let down for them. "And when we see the scarlet thread, then we will rescue you." you and your father and your mother and your children and all that you can gather into the house. And so she had that opportunity. Today, people still have an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Before the sword comes, before they breathe their last breath, there's a seriousness, I think, that we lack. What did Rahab say? She said, not only do I want to be saved, but I want my dad to be saved. I want my mom to be saved. I want my family to be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, I think sometimes we just don't have that same fervor. And you know what drove it in Rahab's life? The terror of the living God was coming. As you walk through town, as they set up, those of you that are volunteering for the Wednesday night event on Main Street, as you're there, watch those people. Many of them will walk by you. None of them know Jesus Christ as their Savior. In fact, you may be here this morning and you may not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. The wrath of God is coming. It's coming. And I'm afraid whether it could be a church like this or many churches, even churches that preach the gospel, people walk into those churches Sunday mornings and the window of opportunity is open and they refuse to go through the window of opportunity and receive Christ as a Savior. But one day the window will be closed. It'll be too late. There was a concern for all that she loved, her family. And there was a choice. They all had to make a choice. Look at verse 19. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head and will be guiltless. Whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any hand be upon him. Look, they make a choice. If they're with you in the house, they'll be saved. If they choose not to be with you, they'll be lost. And so you and I, we can't make people get saved. We can't force people to be saved. But we can share the gospel with them. Give them an opportunity. But I just want you to think for a moment. Does your mom know Christ as her Savior? Because the wrath of God, the judgment of God is going to be poured out on her one day. Does your dad know Christ as his Savior? Does your son, your daughter, your aunt, your uncle, your coworker, do they know Christ? Because the window of opportunity is closing. There was a commitment. You must follow the plan, they told Rahab. In verse number 20. And if thou utter this our business, then we'll be quit of thine oath. In other words, for them it was, listen, it's a deal, they said. But if all of a sudden you decide to kind of spill the beans, then the deal's off. And you and I know that once we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we can never lose our salvation. But we can sure have times in our life when we deny Christ. I love the fact that it was also based on a word, verse 21. She said, oh, well, according unto your word. But we have a word. We have a record. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Faith cometh by hearing. So here, this prostitute, she chose sides. She didn't keep silent with her faith. You know, she didn't keep still. She understood the seriousness of what was taking place. But then lastly, faith, it must always secure the victory. And let's go to chapter 6 and we'll be done. So I'm not going to get into all the details of the taking of Jericho. Ethan did a great job with that last week. But we'll pick it up in verse number 17. Joshua giving the instruction. And he says, "And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live. She and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent." Well, why did she hide the messengers? Because she believed in the one true living God. That's why she hid the messengers. Skip down to verse 22. "But Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman, and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had." Apparently she got a hold of the family and said, "Listen, this is what's happening. You need to come to my house. If you want to be saved, you need to come to my house." "And they brought out all of her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. They burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had." Now look at this. And look at the very last part of this verse. "And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho." God had a plan for Rahab's life, and it didn't end when she was rescued from Jericho. In fact, it really had just begun. She marries a man by the name of Salmon, S-A-L-M-O-N. She then would have a child. Her child's name would be Boaz. Boaz would have a child. His name would be Obed. Obed would have a child. His name would be Jesse. And Jesse would have a son. And you know who that son was? It was David, the king of Israel. So I want to tell you this morning. First, the wrath of God is coming, and you need to be saved if you're not. Secondly, there is no sin too great that God can't save you from that sin. God took a prostitute. By the way, Salmon is called elsewhere in the Bible a prince. She, coming from this sordid background, ends up marrying one of the princes of Israel. So I don't care who you are, what's ever happened in your life, whatever past experience you've had, that's all your history, but God has your story planned for you. Don't let your history destroy His story for your life. Don't let it happen. The enemy would like for it to happen, but don't let it happen. God took this woman and did a tremendous transformation in her life. And not only did faith secure the victory in Jericho, we're not talking about Jericho. We're talking about a person. Faith secured the victory in a person by the name of Rahab. And faith secures the victory in each of our lives. And as you share your faith, it'll secure the victory in your mom, your dad, your son, your daughter, your coworker, your teacher, whomever it might be. Faith secures the victory. Moses said this as we're done. "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Rahab chose life. How about you this morning? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. First, if you're here this morning and you do not know Christ as your Savior, Jesus loves you. He came to die and pay for your sin, but you must accept Him as your Savior. There's a window of opportunity that's open. But for every person, sooner or later, that window closes. And if you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor? The Holy Spirit of God, because listen, it is not by my preaching in and of myself. It is because the Spirit of God has taken the words that went forth behind this pulpit and touched your heart with them. The wrath of God is coming. Jesus is coming again. Are you saved? If you're here and you say, I'm not sure. Would you just slip up your hand right now and put it down? I'm not sure that I'm saved. I am not sure. Have you placed your faith and trust in Christ? Then I want you to think for a minute about your friends and your family and your coworkers. People you come into contact with, your school teacher, are they saved? The wrath of God is coming. There's a window of opportunity. Then I want you to think about yourself. There's just no sin too great that God can't do a work in your life. Faith secures the victory in all three of those. Father, we ask that you'd bless the invitation. Help us to remember these truths and make application to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.